Sometime during the night of November 7th, over 100 earthworms broke into the University of Arkansas Alumni House conference room.
Arkansas Alumni, this is Meredith. Can I help you?
Meredith Hawkins, Alumni House communication specialist, and her colleagues discovered the worms the following morning as they, too, gathered for a board meeting.
Okay, so they were coming in primarily these doors, which you can see there's a, you know, they're
on the floor.
There's just hardly any space for them to crawl through. It's less than a quarter of an inch, but, you know, they can flatten themselves out. And they apparently were really determined. And so through these double doors and then through these double doors as well. So, you know, that's not a very large area. But if you think of that small area, we had at least 100 earthworms in here coming in, you know, and there were many more that did not come in. And then they were
outside on the front porch.
Right. Right here on the patio here.
Waiting to come in.
Well, I guess, but they were probably tired. But then they would make it, you know, easily, some of them maybe 15 or 20 feet into the room. And, you know, but they were getting stuck in the carpet and, you know, I was having to extricate them and all. But
and they were heading south.
They were all heading in one direction, south.
Half the worms were captured and rehomed. The rest were dispatched by a UA custodial crew. But Meredith Hawkins saved as many as she could, collecting them for transport to her home garden, Lucky Worms. She said hundreds outside never made it in, but wanted to real bad. So what did she and her colleagues think happened?
Well, I think some people just thought it was the rain, how they come up after a rain. But there were a few that we thought, there were like three of us that were wondering if it was earthquake related.
Historic flooding rains last spring, but not a worm. This was different. Apparently, the earthworms were living a contented life beneath a 200-year-old oak tree in the Alumni House courtyard adjacent to the conference room. That is, until a magnitude 5.6 earthquake epicentered in Prague, Oklahoma, the previous Saturday night, and subsequent aftershocks, one of them 4.7, caused our alumni worms to seek shelter from the trembling dirt. A bunch of worms, by the way, is called a bed, or a clue, that's C-L-E-W, or a clat, C-L-A-T, or a bunch. Seriously, a bunch of worms. A bunch of worms is a technical word. And it's called stranding behavior when an earthworm purposely escapes its environment. But that magnitude 5.6 quake last Saturday evening quivered a six-state region, including the Ozarks Plateau. Since this was all guesswork, though, we decided to consult an expert. And finding a worm expert, not an easy thing. 10 emails and 5 phone calls later.
I'm Bruce Means. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit organization called the Coastal Plains Institute and Land Conservancy. I'm an ecologist, and I study all kinds of things from ecosystems, but the animals I specialize in are amphibians and reptiles, and once in a while, earthworms.
Dr. Means, Coastal Plains Institute Land Conservancy is in Tallahassee, Florida, by the way. So what does he think about the alumni worm phenomenon?
What generally people don't know is that many species of earthworms, not all of them, but many of them, are quite agitated by vibrations. And so in parts of the South, there are people that go around collecting earthworms for fish bait, and they do it by, there's several words used for it. Grunting is one, noodling is another. And what they do is they pound a stake in the ground, and they rub a piece of metal or something over it so it goes up, it vibrates. And you can feel a vibration in your feet. Well, it tickles the worms or does something to them, and they get crazy, and they come straight to the surface of the ground, and you can collect them that way. Now, a fascinating thing is that some earthworms, not all species, but some earthworms up in the Appalachians actually are, there's a little tortoise, a land turtle, that will stamp on muddy ground, and the vibrations of him stamping with his foot causes some earthworms to come to the surface, which he then eats. So my explanation for what happened, you say you had a 4-point-something level earthquake. The earthquake simulated what goes on when you try to grunt or otherwise vibrate the ground to get earthworms to come up. And this particular earthworm that happened to crawl into the building there on the campus was probably one that was quite sensitive to vibrations. And if you go out and drive a stake in the ground and run a, you know, any kind of a metal or other kind of device over the stake so that it causes a vibration, you might well also cause earthworms to come to the surface of the ground.
We assume the last thing UA Alumni House staff want is to test the stick vibration hypothesis, so we'll take Dr. Means' word. But Dr. Means, who teaches at the University of Florida, Tallahassee, has invited his students on earthworm grunting expeditions. That must be a novel item on the resume. Typically, according to worm literature, when stressed by like drought, heat, or cold, earthworms ball up, estivate, it's called, and wait it out. Plus, Dr. Mean says, it's only our native earthworms which tend to flee vibrations.
The worms that are that mostly do that in our part of the world are native earthworms. They're in the genus Diplocardia, which is a big mouthful. And Arkansas has some really fabulous ones, including the Rich Mountain earthworm, which I found and named. In fact, I found it by moving great big boulders on Rich Mountain.
Rich Mountain, Arkansas' second highest peak on the Ouachitas. And get this, Dr. Means' research on Rich Mountain led him to discover on June 11th, 1973, he's been working with worms for a while evidently, to discover a new type of worm in the Diplocardia family. It measures 2 feet long. Today, it's listed as the Diplocardia meansi, named after Dr. Means. But back to our alumni earthworms.
So probably the earthquake just simply vibrated the ground enough to cause that species of worm to decide it's time to get out of my burrow because it tickles or it agitates me. And where does an earthworm go if he wants to escape agitation? Well, you don't go into the ground because you're already in it. You go to the surface of the ground. And that's what I think happened. And whether they were going south or north or any particular direction, I suspect that you happen to get a bunch of worms that were coming from the south to the north that went under the door, and who knows, maybe plenty of other ones were going the other direction. So I don't think there was any directionality per se associated with it.
We find final evidence in a published online interview with Dr. Motoji Akeya, a retired chair of Quantum Geophysics Laboratory at Osaka University in Japan. When an earthquake rocked his home region of Kobe in 1995, Dr. Ikea noted hundreds of earthworms crawling out of his home garden. And back here 2 weeks ago, widely reported in the European press, but not here in America, was a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration radar image of a massive atmospheric disturbance captured at precisely 10:53 p.m., the moment of the big Oklahoma quake, November 5th. Scientists say it was a simultaneous flight of insects and birds. And one final thought, when the magnitude 5.8 quake rattled Washington, D.C. last August, animals at the National Zoo made loud noises, flocked together, and climbed as high up as possible. So next time you see a bunch of worms making a run for it, hold on tight. It could be the big one. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.